Well, this week we are looking at real singleness. We're in a series right now called Real Relationships. And before I jump into this particular week of our series, I just want to say a couple things. I want to preface what I'm about to say with a few things that I think would be helpful as we talk about the subject of singleness as it relates to relationships that we have in our life. The first thing is, I am not single, okay? I haven't been single in nearly 15 years. And so, you know, I just want to say that I approach this subject today with a posture of humility, and you know, I don't fully remember what it was like to be single. It's been a while since that has happened. So as I talk, as you hear me share today, I just want to take that posture for you of understanding, and I hope that you will give me a lot of grace as I will give you a lot of grace. And secondly, here's the deal. Whether it's been intentional or non-intentional, the church seems to have expectation for singleness. And even sometimes you might feel like there's a timeline. When people are single, you know, people, there's this tendency for people to want them to, you know, to grow up and to get married and or to get remarried. And when we operate out of that trajectory, what happens is that those of us who are in this space in life may feel a little bit like you're part of the problem. And can I just say real quick that I'm sorry for that? Like, I'm being serious here. I'm sorry that you have felt that way. I'm sorry that the church has had a part of that process of maybe ostracizing a place for singleness. I think we have to do a better job, and this is what I'm up here to talk about. We're going to have a panel. It's going to be pretty cool. But I just want to say, because I'm speaking first, a few things to the subject of singleness. I'm sorry that we're not providing a better community and support for you. I'm sorry that we stereotype, oftentimes as groups and as churches, singles as an extension of college-age ministry when you come in all forms and all different spaces in life. I'm sorry for the insensitive comments and the prying questions that you may have received. And I'm sorry for the way that social media has magnified this lonely space and for the moments when you've felt forgotten and unseen. These are real feelings that people in this space in life have, and I think we need to do a better job, starting here in our church community, because that's kind of where we're at, of addressing this and understanding this and learning from each other. So today I want to talk about real singleness. Each single person will have a different experience, okay? There are age differences. Being single at 20 is very different from being single at 30 or 40 or even 70. There are circumstantial differences. Some have never married, while others are divorcees. Some are widows, some are widowers. And there are experiential differences. Some have chosen to be single, okay? And they're content in that. Others long to be married and feel frustrated. These are the different ways that singleness has played itself out and continues to do. What does the Bible have to say to all these people? Like everything else, we as a church need to figure out what God has to say about the subject of singleness. So as we talk about singleness, we're going to talk about singleness today from a faith perspective. You are at a church gathering, so I would hope that you would expect nothing less than for us to address the subject of singleness from God's word. It's our foundation. Scripture has to be the place that we start. Otherwise, anything that I say or anything that you say is just going to end up being a very subjective reasoning or your opinion, which isn't discounted. It's just not the thing that is unchanging and the truth, no matter what. So we want to start here. We want to do that. We want to hear from something outside of ourselves when it comes to learning about ourselves, right? So thankfully, one thing I'm really thankful about is on the subject, God has a lot to say. He has a lot to say on the subject of singleness. And he used a guy named Paul, a man who wrote most of the New Testament, was like the ultimate church planter, and was single. He has some credibility, Paul. He was single. And he wrote some things about singleness that I think would be really helpful for us today as we talk about this. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians is like, if you have a paper Bible in your hand, it's like towards the right. and like further back than the middle. And if you have a phone, certainly like find your Bible app and just get to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 6 through 9, and then we're going to skip down to 32. So 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is saying this. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. You know, there's so much that could be said on the subject of singleness. There's so many, I mean, just this week as I'm thinking about all the things that could be said, I was like, man, there's so many different angles and so many different things that could be said about singleness. And I honestly was praying, God, what do you want me to say today on the subject? Because it's so vast and there's so much, and we're not even going to be able to begin to scratch the surface of all the implications of what singleness looks like. But one point I felt like God gave me very clearly to make, and it's just going to be my one point of today, is this. Singleness is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be received. Singleness is not a problem to be solved, but a gift to be received. I don't know if you caught this, but in verse 7, Paul says a key thing about singleness. He says that singleness is a gift. A gift. That's right. Singleness is a gift. It's not a curse. It's not a source of pity. It's not a problem. And it's not something that needs to be fixed. One man was so fed up with being asked, "Are you still single?" that he began asking others, "Are you still married?" We must resist the implication that singleness is second best. And it needs to start here, and it needs to start with us. The Bible doesn't say that singleness is second best. Marriage is good, but so is singleness. And it's been given to some, is what it says, Paul's saying. And I don't know what your God picture is like today. Some of us have come from all different walks of life, and the way that we think about God is different. But I want to challenge you with this today. The Bible says this in Romans 8, and we know that for those who love God, all things. You know what that means? All things. You guys are catching on. I like this. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, if God is big enough and he's wise enough and he's loving enough to trust what comes from his hand, we can trust him even in the space of singleness. We can trust him.
Yeah.
It's not just some things, it's all things. But here's the question. What if you're sitting there today and you're thinking to yourself, but what if I don't have the gift of singleness? I heard you say that. Like, there's a gift of singleness, right? What if I don't have it? What if I don't find it easy being on my own and I long to marry? Does that mean that I'm experiencing second best? Well, I don't think so. In fact, I'd say no. And here's why. When Paul speaks of singleness as a gift, okay, he isn't speaking of a particular ability that some people have to be single and content. That's not what he's talking about. Paul is speaking to the state of being single. He's not talking about like a spiritual gift of singleness, right? Like, who wants that? It's like, well, thanks, God. Thanks for giving me that gift. I really want that, you know? Like, some of us do not want that. And so it's okay to say that, you know? It's like, so Paul is not talking about a spiritual gift here. He's talking about a state of being. He's talking about a state of being single. And he's saying, as long as you have it, this gift of singleness, for as long as you have it, treat it as a gift. Treat it as a gift. It's a gift from God. Just as marriage will be God's gift if you ever receive that gift, so is singleness if you've received that gift right now. We should receive our situation in life, whether it is singleness or marriage, as God's gift, God's grace to us. But here, let's ask a fair question, because I know there's probably a lot, and this is the reason we have a panel today. there's a fair question that needs to be asked, which is, even if we understand that singleness is a gift from God in the space at which we're at in life, it's not necessarily a spiritual gift that we've all been called to receive and hope we have for the rest of our life. Some people are called to that, and that needs to be appreciated and valued. But what if you don't have that? Why would a loving God choose to give some of us the gift of singleness when we long to be in a relationship? And here's a better one. You're thinking, maybe if singleness is a gift, can I exchange it? Can I go back? Can I take that thing off layaway? You know, like, can I just like trade that thing in for something else? Here's what Paul says, because the big question is why? Why singleness? Why is it being given? Paul gives us a hint in verse 32. I love it when you don't have to guess. Like, he's going to give us the answer. Verse 32. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. And here's verse 35. This is what I want to focus in on as it relates to this subject. He says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul is giving us the answer. Paul is saying that God has not given you the gift of singleness to put a restraint on you, or to choke you, or to hurt you, or to be cruel to you. It's not like God is saying, well, let's put them at the train station and hope they never meet. That's not God. He doesn't work that way. It's not like he's up here saying, oh, I wonder how we can keep these guys separate from each other. You know, he's all for you if you're one of his. And we believe that everything that we have comes from his hands to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Everything that we have from God is a gift. Why then has he given some people this gift? Why has he given this? Why is this the reality? He says in verse 35, again, to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. To secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. For those wondering, this should be a game changer. This should be a game changer. You don't even have to guess. Paul is giving you the reason for why God would allow some of us to receive the gift of singleness right there, right now in the season. And so the question becomes this: how do I have a life of undivided devotion to the Lord right now? Do I, in the space that I'm in right now, as a single individual, have undivided devotion to the Lord? That's the goal. That's what he's saying here. Let me ask you this question. Does an anxiety about how to please the Lord define your singleness? Does anxiety about how to please God define the space in your life right now? I want you to hear me for a second, not as rude or cold or unsympathetic, because I have a lot of friends that are in this space in life. And my job is to help these people understand that right now, you need to take advantage of this moment. So I want to say this with a heart of love and concern. Some of you may right now have great anxiety and frustration and even anger about the singleness, and it's like at the level of your soul. Is it possible that you're in that place today because you're attempting to live out your singleness without the pursuit of undivided devotion to the Lord? That's the question. Is it possible that it is just so overwhelming for you because your interests are divided? If it is, I believe that it will continue to have the same effect on you. it will continue to have the same effect on you, and it will leave you, at the end of the day, I think it'll leave you desperate and distracted. It'll be like trying to play basketball without a ball. You know, it's confusing. it's frustrating. And it doesn't make much sense. And can I just say this as a married guy? Dating and marriage are not the main storyline of your life. Amen. Can I say that? As somebody who's been married now for a good bit of time, dating and marriage are not the main storyline of your life. And they won't be. They're important places in life, but they're not the big story. They're not the biggest story. In fact, idolizing your marriage is just as broken as the single friend who's obsessed with the desire for it. I'm going to say that again. Idolizing your marriage is just as broken as the single friend who's obsessed with being married to a place where it's unhealthy. Yeah. Our highest priority isn't finding a relationship or a spouse. Our highest priority should be devoting ourselves to God with undivided distraction. Yeah. That's where we start. For some of you, you're looking for a depth of love from another human being. And some of you that are, I'm not just talking to singles at this moment, I'm talking to people that are also in a relationship. Some of you are looking for a depth of love from another human being that only God can give you. Amen. And it ends up every time as misplaced affections. Misplaced affections. Ultimate happiness is not found through finding a soulmate. Ultimate happiness is not found in a relationship with someone else. Ultimate happiness is found in satisfaction that comes from a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Who has called you, if you are one of His, as a son or daughter, to live a life of undivided devotion to Him. When you rest in the love of God, when you devote yourself fully to Him, not just the parts that you're comfortable with, by the way, not just the places where you're like, well, that's I can give that over. I can do that. Jesus wants it all, every single piece. When you find yourself in His words, when you find yourself in His works, you know, when you find yourself in His ways, it begins to remove that desperation for other relationships. And what it does is it replaces it with a beginning and a growing undivided relationship to God, your first relationship priority, as we begin to take this path. So that's kind of what I wanted to kind of lay the groundwork for with us today. We've kind of taken some time to lay a biblical groundwork of what is Paul actually saying here. He's not saying that singleness is just given to everyone that's single as a lifelong thing. He's not saying it's a gift of singleness. He's saying the space in life, wherever you are, whether it's long-term or short-term, where you are right now is a gift of singleness. And I think we need to start treating it as a gift. Because it's not treated that way, generally speaking. There's a stigma that maybe there's a problem, you know? I know we hear stories all the time. It's like, when are you gonna get married? Like, you know, have you found somebody yet? Like, you're such a great person. I'm not helpful. We're gonna talk about that when we come back. We're gonna talk about this when we come back from our panel, which is gonna get set up right now. We're gonna talk about some things that are not helpful. And we're going to talk about some things that are helpful. So as we get ready on stage here, I would just encourage you to begin to prepare yourself. We're going to be thinking about the things that God has said in relationship to hearing from people in our own community. All right? I'm excited.
Hi, all. My name is Katie, for those of you who may not know me. And I just want to extend a big thank you to Justin and the leadership team and to all of you for letting us share our stories. As Justin talked about, the life of being single is not normally a story that is told, right? It's either people don't want to hear about it, or they don't want to hear the real parts of it, or those of us who are single sometimes have a hard time sharing that story. So thank you for the space for us to share, and thank you in advance for dealing with our nerves and our jitteriness. Again, it's kind of a new story to share and with a group of people. So what I'm going to be doing is to be drilling these fine folks with lovely questions about their journey. And yeah, so what I want to know from the three of you is, first, if you can share with us your name, a little bit about how long you've been coming here to Praxis, but then share with us kind of your story of singleness. Paint for us a picture, what that has looked for you, looked like for you, where you're at now, and we'll go from there. Who wants to start?
Hi, my name is Justin, and not to be confused with other Justin, I'm the much more handsome one.
Yes.
So I've been coming to Praxis roughly about as long as we've had this building. I started a couple weeks after it came, so getting on about 2 years now. And is there anything else you guys to talk about?
You know, yeah, what is your story?
Okay. So I came to Keene as a student. I go to Antioch. I'm finishing up there. So when you kind of move from out of state into a new place, especially by yourself, and your life is in transition, it's difficult to want to start up anything with anybody, just because if your life is chaotic and unstable, it makes it difficult to want to make a commitment. Personally, I have never been someone who wants to date just to date, or one of those people who, you know, goes out just to have fun with another person or that kind of stuff. I am much more of an introvert, and so if I don't feel moved or attracted or interested in somebody else, I tend to not really pursue anything. And knowing that, you know, I'm not sure what my life is going to be like in the next few months or the next few years, it makes it difficult to want to pursue anything if I do feel something. So the moment, my life is unstable. It has been ever since I kind of got out of undergrad, which is why I've kind of been single.
So my name is Morgan. I have been going to Praxis for a few months now. I can't quite remember, maybe February, March of this year, so I'm relatively new to the church. Obviously in a different age demographic for my singleness. I am in the 40s bracket. And my space is a little different because I am a single parent, so that has looked very different. I've been single for at least 15 years, so it's been a long road. And in the beginning, I was too busy being a parent to ever pursue any relationship. I figured no one was going to buy into that kind of chaos anyways. And now my kids are getting older, and I have fallen in love with the life that God has given me, the things He's taught me about myself, the friendships that I have developed, excitement over building, hobbies and activities that are for me as I get older and my kids move out. So I'm really so content and so happy with the life that I have. Honestly, I have not really given much thought to even pursuing another relationship at this point. I'm so grateful that I'm there.
Hi, I'm Amanda. I've been coming here for about a month. I moved to Keene recently in August. I've been in a few serious relationships, so I've been around the block and I know what it's like. But the way that singleness has informed my life right now and where I am in my life is I just graduated from law school this year and just took a first like career job. So having just moved and have all that big transition, and then what lies ahead of me is even more transition to start out my career. Singleness has been a huge gift to be able to listen to God's voice and what He wants me to do professionally and personally, and only have to consider those things and be able to pursue them fully without having somebody else's life to maybe dissuade me from doing that. So,
thank you. If you can, what I'd like to hear from you next is some things you may have learned during this journey, whether things personally, things that you've learned that are hard or challenges, things that have been joyful, things that you, or anything else that you've learned during this process.
It's our last time.
Oh, there have been so many things to learn in this whole journey. I think just learning that there are people out there who do understand. The church does, in fact, at times function as the husband to the husbandless, the father to the fatherless. Learning that I could rely on that, rely on God to do that through people and just through the times alone with Him. And learning how to reach out for friendship when a lot of my friends are still married. So it's the continuing process to learn in this space. But those are important lessons that I've learned so far.
I would say, you know, I had a Christian upbringing, and then I think that being combined with being a girl is that you're told that getting married is the goal, that is the end-all be-all. And for a long time, not to knock Christian upbringings, but for a long time that made me really question myself and feel very negative about myself. And I was really thankful for that period being single, because it did help me pursue other things in my life from which I found fulfillment, you know, like once I started getting my life together and finding out, you know, what it means to be an adult and to get an education and things. That's where I found my fulfillment and found that that's how I live out God's will for my life, and it doesn't matter if I had a boyfriend or not. So that took a long time to get there, and I think that's something valuable that people my age can learn from, people younger from me can definitely learn from, and parents and Christians in the church and everything. I think about the kind of perspective then, how that makes people feel when they're growing up.
So for those of you who don't know, my father's a pastor. I come from a long line of pastors. So growing up in the church, my dad leading a large congregation, I kind of had a front row view to people getting into relationships. And one thing that I kind of learned or saw a lot of times was that people would rush into it for any number of different reasons. Fear of being alone, pressure from outside forces or their family, all those kind of things. And most of the time, those relationships didn't end very well. And so for myself, knowing that it is supposed to be a gift, that you can't really rush, that God has a time and a place for everything, being able to be comfortable with where I am and trusting that things will work out one way or the other is something that I kind of learned through this.
You all have already answered my next question, but just for the sake, I want you all to know what that question was how is your faith informed this period, this state of being? So this last question that I have is, if you want to, is a twofold. One, it's kind of a catch-all, right? One, is there anything else you'd like to touch on about how your faith has informed this period of singleness? And or is there anything else that you would like to share about your experience and or about what you've learned that you think the rest of us can benefit from?
It's a big question for me to start on, too. So as far as how being single and how my faith has informed that, I think there's so many ways. I mean, one thing too about being single is that it's not a state of being, and we were talking about this beforehand, it's not an independently standing kind of adjective, it's not something that defines a person, and it's a way that I can't even point to something in my life that's because I'm single, that's because I'm single. It's more of, I've lived my life and I happen to be single. Yeah. So in talking about it that way, the challenges that I've had, there's like the main struggle of being single is I'm 26 and especially outside of school, everybody who's my age is married or with kids or at least in a serious relationship. So there's that I missed the boat kind of feeling, and the way that my faith has come into play with that, because that thought does creep up every now and then, is that God has shown himself in the timing of my life in ways that I could talk about all day. And I look back and see all the things that he has artistically planned for me, and his timing has just been totally not what I wanted at the time, and just beyond question the best thing for me. So when that thought comes up, you know, now that I'm like away from my law school friends who are all single and had their head in a book like myself, it's hard for me to keep it to avoid like the memes that make fun of being single and everything. But I can always fall back on that and say like my timing is ridiculous and God's timing is always so much better.
More. If there was anything else you wanted to share. We did touch on how my faith has been able to be strengthened and bolstered and gotten through so much of this time as being single, especially as a single mom. Just appreciative of the churches who were able to look at me, and individuals who were able to look at me as not deficient or less than whole, because I don't see that. I don't think that God sees that. God has granted me a wholeness and a fulfillment that maybe I wouldn't have had if I were married because of the walk that he's taken me through. Just as a thing to know, I don't know, I guess just know for all of you who are my married friends that for, I think I speak for all of us, we're not, you're not jealous of your marriage. We're not pining away for that. Know that we still value our friendships, but there may be times that we don't reach out to you to spend time together because we want to honor your marriage relationships and the time that you've dedicated to that, but we don't want to lose you as friends. And I think one of the most valuable things for me has been when my married friends have taken time away from their spousal relationship to say, hey, one-on-one, let's go get coffee. Because that might not be something I'm going to ask for because I don't want to get in the way of the relationships you have in life. And that maybe has been hard, but also something I've valued so much when I've had that.
So I guess I'll kind of continue on with the theme that we seem to be talking about. There is a verse from the book of Hebrews where it says, faith is the assurance of things not seen and the promise of things not had yet. Something along those lines. I'm never very good at like remembering verses. It's not a thing. I get the general gist of what it says, and that's good enough for me. So something along those lines. And kind of what it comes down to me is that I just have to ask myself three questions. And that is, do I believe that God is good? Do I believe that he loves me? And do I believe that he has a hand in my life? And if I answer yes to all of those, then whatever comes, at whatever point in time in my life, it'll be good, it'll be from God, and it'll come from a place of loving. And so, beyond that, there's not much to kind of do but enjoy what I have right now.
Thank you all for sharing of yourselves. And you all heard it from Morgan. If you want to know more, ask us to coffee. We'd love to share. But thank you for coming up here today. And again, Justin, thank you for this space and opportunity.
Thank you.
It's good for us to hear from people in the stages of life. We're going to continue this on in the series because there's a lot of value in hearing from those who have a lot of great things to say. I've just been enlightened. I don't know about you, but again, as being somebody that's been in a relationship for a long time, it's good to hear these things. It's really good to hear these things. I'm so thankful to Katie and the rest of the crew who really put themselves out there for us. I have a couple thoughts just to end with, and then we are gonna go into a time of singing and response here. But I want to say a couple things that it's you know, when I was thinking about this week, I was like, what do we want to do? We want to help those who are in that space in life. We also want to help those who are not in that space of life and our larger context, a community, to really value this space. So I want to say one thing to two parties involved here today, and I want to leave you with this. There's some just a couple quick things. A final word to those who are single. Leverage your time. The reality is, for most of you, the single season will probably end. That's just the reality, right? For most people, the season of singleness will probably end. And even though studies are showing that millennials are waiting longer and longer to get married, if we look at that demographic, still, I was surprised by this, 90% of millennials still want to be married. Okay? So there's this reality of even a generation coming up now. So what do you do to have more in the season of life? What do you have right now in the season of life that you're in? Is time. I think there's some more time in there. I'll give you an example. If you wake up in the morning and you say to yourself on a Saturday, what do I want to do today? I haven't had that thought in 6 years. And I would love to trade places with you for just one weekend. My days are planned out, folks. My time, I know where it's going on Saturday. Like, it doesn't have to be asked. It's on paper. It's an incredible gift to you and to the church at large that you have maybe some extra time. That's not to say that you aren't busy. I don't want to give you that impression. But typically, I bet if you counted it up, you'd find that you maybe have some more time. You can choose to devote yourself more fully, I believe, to the community, to God's work. Whereas the Christian married couple has a responsibility first to their spouse and to their children. And it's not a bad thing. It's just where they're at in that season of life. The average American male will spend 10,000 hours gaming by the age of 21.
Wow.
It takes less than half that time to earn a bachelor's degree. Okay, I'm just putting some stats out here. If you want this stuff, I'll give it to you. Now listen, I'm not looking to knock video games, because I was totally into, you know, when N64 came out with GoldenEye and, you know, Halo and all that stuff, all the best days of playing first person shooter games. So I'm not knocking that, and you can ask my wife, like, there were many nights where it's like, are you talking to me? Oh no, you're talking to your community there. Oh, that community. The one with the headset and all that. Yeah. You want to give me a drink? I want to challenge you with this, these are not my words, but I think they're crucial words. I think they're almost, if I can use the word, prophetic words. Don't waste your life.
Amen.
Don't waste this space of your life.
Amen.
Use it, and use it to the glory of God. Don't waste your life, those of you gamers who are in that kind of thing, don't waste the season of your life saving fantasy worlds when the real world's on fire.
Amen.
And it is.
God, it is.
Figure out how you've been gifted in the season to be used and leverage your time. Your time, your resources, and your talents, they can work towards infinite kingdom purposes if you would allow them to be used. And I want you, as your pastor, I want to be able to have you one day look back at this season of your life and say that was a gift. That was a gift. And I've leveraged my singleness for the glory of God and for the good of others. That's my hope today. That's my pastoral heart for you. That you will look back one day at this season and say, I leveraged my time. I took advantage of this space. Final word to those of us who are not single. To all my single friends, we need to learn to talk. Or to all my friends who are married, we need to learn to talk. We've got to get better at eliminating the stigma about singleness. Let's be a community that fosters contentment in every stage of life. We heard that today. All right, here's a couple examples of things that are not super, super helpful to hear if you're a single person from a person who's not. Okay? Super practical. As soon as you stop looking, when you least expect it, your spouse will find you. Okay, can I just be fully transparent here? I've said that first part before. As soon as you stop looking, well, because it happened for me. I mean, that's kind of why it did happen for me when I really start pursuing and going after and looking. But there's a way to, I think, be a little bit more sensitive about that. Here's another one. If you have a desire for it, it will happen. Not helpful and not true. Not helpful and not true. We have never been guaranteed that we're going to end up in a lifelong relationship with a significant other. Here's another one. Gosh, how are you still single? But you're so awesome. Right? Why hasn't anyone realized how awesome you are? That's probably not going to be helpful. Here's another one, equally as bad. Maybe he or she isn't ready for you yet. Not helpful. Or as soon as you're ready, he or she will just show up. Here's some other things, and I think they touched on them. Here's some things we can say instead. Let's get together for dinner, right? Let's hang out. Come hang out with my family. Here's another one that I would ask even now. How are you leveraging your time, your gifts, and your resources for the kingdom of God? Because we care about this stuff. I want to read this quote to kind of end our time here. The church was designed to be a community that gathered together in every life stage, in every struggle, in every success, to magnify the name of Jesus,
amen,
to shout his glory and his goodness, and to bring heaven on earth.
Amen.
That's what the church is about. So let's support each other at every stage of life, and let's find contentment in that.